welcome to Agri-Food Matters, the podcast from the UCD School of Agriculture and Food Science that aims to shed light on the topics that really matter in the world of agriculture and food. In today's episode, we'll tell the story of meat as it relates to Ireland and how work by researchers at UCD is helping the Irish meat industry to produce nutritious meat in an environmentally sustainable way. I'm Sean Duke, and I'll be your host. This podcast, episode 6 in the series, is co-produced by Julie Dowsett. Let's check in first now with Julie, who'll give us a little more detail on today's show and the experts that we'll be hearing from. So Julie, what are we talking about today?
Well, Sean, as you know, we're a nation of meat eaters, and as a country, we're exceptionally good at producing really high quality meat, which is a really good story from an export point of view. And meat is such a rich source of nutrients and is a really valuable contributor to the Irish diet. But with all things in life, we need to find a balance between how we produce meat to minimise its impact on the environment while keeping it financially viable for farmers to produce it, and also supporting customers and consumers to include meat in a healthy, balanced diet so that it's beneficial and not detrimental to health. Professor Frank Monaghan and Dr. Bridget McNulty are joining us today to explain the impact of the research they're doing in this area in UCD and how the production and consumption of meat can be optimised for the consumer.
Thanks for that, Julie. Let's hear now from Frank Monaghan, a researcher interested in the importance of meat to our diet, who becomes Dean of the School of Agriculture and Food Science from the 1st of September. What do you see as a key focus for you coming in as head of school?
So our job is around teaching undergraduates and postgraduates and research. So as dean, I need to make sure that our teaching and research is directed towards the challenges that we face in our school. It's very much about the production of food from farm right through to fork, and our degrees align with that. But of course, we also need to consider the challenges there are around climate change and greenhouse gases, which agriculture has a role to play in. So we need to ensure that our programs and our research align with and meet these challenges.
And do you think they do at the moment, or do things need to be tweaked or adjusted anywhere, or, you know, how might it pan out in the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
Yes, so I think there's a lot more discussion now around, I suppose, intersectoral work, where we work collaboratively together in different areas. So across, you know, food production right through to the food quality that's consumed by consumers, right through to human health. So we need to focus more on that continuum and work together, bringing the expertises we have together to solve these problems in a successful way. So I think it's around much more working together to solve solutions and using the expertise that we all have, different expertise.
Yeah, and well, there are many issues out there, of course, to look at, but one is the role of meat in our diet and on the environment. Now, in terms of perception versus reality, which is really what we're going to talk about here today, we hear a lot about how meat impacts on the environment, but how is research here at UCD having an impact perhaps on reducing the carbon footprint, which is a thing that people are concerned about?
So as you said, Sean, you know, agriculture has its part to play in climate change, and meat production is a big part of that. One of the things we do very well in Ireland is to produce meat from our grass-based production system, and that has advantages in terms of carbon footprint. But of course, there are ways in which we can improve on that. So, for example, the breeding of animals, the genetics can, you know, lead to improvements in efficiency, so we can produce meat more efficiently with animals with the right genetics. The management of the pasture and the feeding for animals is another critical component. So, for example, there's work going on now on mixed species swards. So that's where you have a variety of plant species being fed to the animals. And if they're managed in the right way, it can reduce the need for application of nitrogen, which of course, again, contributes to greenhouse gases. So if we can produce the animals more efficiently, use the feeds more efficiently, then we can contribute to addressing the issue of climate change and the impact of greenhouse gases that agriculture brings.
Because with meat, there are some people who might have the idea, meat is bad for the environment in a simplistic way. I mean, you know, how do you respond to that kind of attitude or idea?
Yeah, you know, we need to look at producing it in a way that's as environmentally sustainable as possible. And of course, the new Food Vision 2030 addresses those, you know, three aspects of sustainability, not only economic, but also environmental and social. So, you know, meat is going to be part of the story. We need to produce it as efficiently as possible. We perhaps need to look at, you know, producing high quality meat. Maybe we'll consume less of it, but we may need to pay more for it. And so it would be part of the story around the protein that people need and the growing world population needs. But it will only be part of it. Other foods, other protein sources will also be important.
So meat will remain an important part of our diet?
Yes, I mean, it's a good source, we know, of good quality protein. But, you know, we may eat less of it, and it may be that we will pay more for it, but I think that's the way it will go. We'll have a high quality product that hopefully the farmer will get paid enough for to make it a viable option, but it will also contribute to our diets.
And that of course will suit Ireland, because we're producing a pretty high quality product, I think, as it is.
Absolutely, and as I said already, the grass-based nature of our food and meat production is an advantage.
So just on the grass-fed, the benefits of that, I mean, is grass-fed meat better for our health, would you say, than animals that are fed concentrates?
So we know that the composition differs. The feed consumed by animals affects the composition of the meat. So, for example, we know that grass-fed beef has higher levels of omega-3 fatty acids and some vitamins compared to concentrate-fed meat. It's hard to draw a link directly to human health. All we can say really is that, you know, if we increase our intake of omega-3 fatty acids, that's a good thing. And meat probably makes a relatively small contribution to that overall. Fish is a big contributor, but even a small contribution is a valuable contribution. We know that in a recent study we did looking at the population intake of beef in Ireland, if people shifted from, let's say they're consuming fully concentrate-fed beef to grass-fed beef, a significantly higher proportion would meet the dietary recommendations around saturated fat intake and total fat intake. So it does have an influence in terms of our diet.
Now, in terms of taste and tenderness, which is important to a lot of us of the meat, what kind of impacts do things like the sex and age and breed of the animals have?
So if we take taste, that's a component of flavour, if you like. One of the things that has a big impact on the flavour of meat is the diet of the animals. The diet influences particularly the fat composition of the meat, and that then can have an effect on our sensory perception. So we get different flavor volatiles being produced as a result of the diet. The breed has an influence, because some breeds have a higher levels of what we call marbling fat in the muscle, and that contributes to the perception of flavor, but also tenderness. And, you know, the view is that some degree of marbling fat is necessary to get a good sensory experience. In terms of the gender of the animals, male bulls tend to have more leaner meat, leaner than the meat associated with heifers and steers. So gender has an influence too, and in affecting the fat, it can affect the sensory perception.
Yeah, so meat differs. This is the that's the bottom line.
Exactly.
Another thing is where our meat comes from. You know, people are that's important to people. Traceability and food safety. So, what methods are in place or being developed that may be in place in the future to do that?
Yes, yeah, so this is really important, particularly, you know, if we put a label like grass fed on our Irish on our products. Can we prove that it is, or indeed any meat? If the label says it's organic or it's from a particular country, can we prove that? So that's about traceability in the first instance, being able to link each step of production from farm through to the food package, if you like. But the important thing is being able to authenticate it, to show that the traceability systems are robust. So if it says it's, for example, Irish and grass-fed, can we prove it? So to give you an example, we use a technique called stable isotope ratio analysis to study meat. So we analyze it, and the naturally occurring isotopes in the meat of carbon or oxygen or hydrogen, they're influenced by the diet of the animals, but also where the animals have come from. So by measuring these isotopes, we can, for example, get an indication of whether animals are fully grass-fed or fully concentrate-fed, or indeed where they've come from. So, for example, the oxygen in meat or the hydrogen in meat is actually different depending on where the animals were raised. So if it's in Ireland, it's going to be different to that of beef that comes from South America or Australia. So we can use these techniques to authenticate the meat and back up the traceability systems.
Okay, and that's important for Irish meat overseas and at home.
Yeah.
In terms of cancer risk, you do hear about this cancer risk with meat. Some people say there is a link, maybe it's bad press. Is there a risk with eating too much meat that could be a cancer risk, or has that been accurately communicated?
So yeah, communication is really important around this piece, and there have been many studies over the years where they've analyzed all of the research that's been done in this area. So if we take red meat or processed meat, for example, the link has been to colorectal cancer, and it is around how it's communicated for sure. So in the case of red and processed meats, often the term carcinogen is used. And of course, when people hear carcinogen, they think of things like asbestos or pollution, tobacco smoke, and these are all carcinogenic. But of course, it's what the actual contribution to cancer is. So in terms of deaths attributable to cancer, cigarettes, tobacco smoke, and air pollution are much greater contributors than processed meat. And that sometimes can get lost in the discussion. So with regard to colorectal cancer particularly, the incidence in Ireland is actually 6 in 100 people get colorectal cancer, whether or not they're meat eaters. And what the research or evidence suggests is that if you consume, 50 to 100 grams of red meat per day, or 25 to 50 grams of processed meats per day, then the risk goes up from 6 in 100 to 7 in 100. But what I think is that, if you adhere to the dietary guidelines, most of us are not going to be in that realm. So the dietary guidelines around meat consumption is that it's within the protein part of the food pyramid, and we should consume both red and white meats. We should consume proteins from other sources as well as meats. So for example, from beans and lentils and eggs. And if we introduce that variety into our diets, we're not going to be in that situation where we're consuming 100 grams of red meat every day or 25 to 50 grams of processed meats per day. And the other thing to realize is that with colorectal cancer, because that's the one that's been focused on mainly, the main risk factors are actually genetic, family history, tobacco smoking, alcohol, and body fatness. So processed meats is one part of the story, but it's not by any means the whole story.
Yeah. Sure. So are you confident then that meat has a good future in Ireland, around the world? Are we, we have to make some changes, but are you confident that these changes can be made?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the recently released Food Vision 2030 document is a very hopeful one, I think, in that we take a food systems approach to how we produce food in a sustainable way. I think meat will always be there. If we take Ireland as an example, that's what we do. Our landscape, our pasture, our systems are all based around livestock. It may be that we consume less meat. I think it will be the case, but it has to be of a higher quality. And potentially we'll produce it in a less intensive way. to meet the climate targets that we need to do. But I think as long as the supports are there for the farming community to enable them to survive and to have a good standard of living, that should be possible. So these challenges are also great opportunities for us here in Ireland.
That was Frank Monaghan. Now, let's hear from Breach McNulty, a nutrition researcher who's been investigating the nutritional importance of meat in our diet. So maybe I could ask you, what are the nutritional benefits of red meat? You know, what are the main nutrients in meat?
Okay, so I suppose when we think of meat and red meat in particular, the main component that we probably think of is protein, and it's a really good source of protein. And I suppose when we think about protein, we tend to think about the quality of protein and the amino acids it has. So when it comes to red meat, it has a lot of good quality amino acids, and therefore it's really important in that regard that we have that kind of amino acid profile within our intakes. Also, it has a lot of vitamin and minerals that are important. When it comes to the vitamins, a lot of the B vitamins, in particular B12, and also vitamin D. And when it comes to the minerals, zinc and as well iron. So they're all good sources of those minerals and vitamins.
And if we don't have those, I mean, what are some of the downsides then if we don't have enough of some of those minerals and vitamins?
The downsides, I suppose, it depends which nutrient you're going to look at. I suppose protein is really important when it comes to the building blocks of life, in a sense. So we really need a good amount of protein within the diet. When it comes to the vitamin and minerals, they all have their different kind of, purpose within our bodies. Vitamin D, we probably heard a lot of when it comes to, COVID in the times that we're in, and it's important in our immunity. But also zinc has a role in immunity, and iron has a role in immunity as well. So all of those nutrients are really important. So it's important that we get a good balance of them in our diets.
Yeah, and with COVID, of course, people are becoming experts on scientific things more than they ever were. But we know now that our immune system is important. So, yeah. Now, the role of meat in the Irish diet, what does the evidence say about how meat contributes to the Irish diet, generally speaking?
Well, I suppose when we look at Ireland, and we've looked at it over the years in all the different population groups, meat is a major contributor to our diet. So 98% of the population consume meat.
Gosh, there's not too many. That surprises me. I thought there were more non-meat eaters.
You would, but we tend to, that's all meat. So not necessarily red meat, but we do tend to, it's a major component, and it provides a lot of energy in our diet. But it also provides a lot of our protein. So 41% of our protein actually comes from meat itself. So it's really good in that regard. And also it also provides fat, so and sodium as well. So fat, about 23% of our total fat will come from a meat source. As well, we have our zinc, our B12 that we've talked about before. You know, B12, 31% of our B12 is coming from animal sources, or sort of meat sources. And that's important because I suppose B12 is unique vitamin, and we get it from animal sources solely. So it's hard to get, I suppose, from other sources, and especially if you are consuming just a vegan diet. So you have to be particular care in relation to
that. And remind me, B12 is important for what?
B12 is important for your metabolism. So, you know, it's important for DNA and RNA metabolism as well, especially so for your cells, so the development of your cells. So it's really important. And if we don't have enough of it, we tend to get anemia in the diet, so which can be detrimental in our metabolism.
And just one thing that my ears pricked up, I heard fat. So once you get to a certain stage in life, probably fat isn't good. Or is it? I mean, what good does fat do for us?
Fat is important. It is important in the diet. I think many people think of it as a negative thing, and we do need our fat in our diet. It's a great energy source, so we know that, but it also has, it creates hormones, or we need it to produce hormones within the body. It's used for the cell membrane, so there's lots of different uses for fat in our diets. The problem is if we have too much of it, which we all know, if we have too much fat, it can have a detrimental effect. And that's where it's been linked to potential cardiovascular disease, diabetes, etc. So meat does contribute a lot to our fat intakes. But we have to look at it in terms of the type of meat, and it's really processed meat when it comes to it. So processed red meat can contain a lot of fat. It can also contain a lot of sodium. And that's where we see the link between high intakes of fat and sodium and meat.
Okay, to watch out for that.
Yeah.
Now, low iron intake. Iron is important for many reasons. So who's at risk? Why is that important? And who's at risk from not getting enough dietary iron?
Iron's important because what we do is we use iron to produce hemoglobin. And hemoglobin is what we use within our red blood cells to carry the oxygen around our body. So really, really important. If we don't get enough of it, what happens is we start to feel tired. We start to have low energy. We can get pale. And overall, it can be negative. And it depends as well what time of life we have, or in our lives that we have this. You know, especially younger children, if they haven't got enough iron in their diet, that can be detrimental to their development overall. The people that are most at risk of having low iron are actually female women.
Why is that?
We see it in the Irish population. We have seen it. Women tend to have obviously higher intakes because menstruation. So premenopausal women will have higher intakes compared to male counterparts. And that's because of their menstruation. And they just don't consume enough of it. So we tend to see, especially younger women, you know, the younger 18 to 35 year olds, they just don't get enough iron. That could be that they're not eating as much meat or other sources of iron within the diet. Other people that potentially are at risk are younger infants as well. So when you wean your baby, so when you start to introduce solid foods, some parents don't eat or introduce meat quick enough. And actually, they don't have a huge iron store when they're born. So if we don't introduce it, you know, when we're supposed to early on in life between the 6 to 12 month period, they can actually suffer from lower iron intakes. Potentially vegans and vegetarians as well, depending on the variety of their diet. So it's not to say that you need meat for iron. It is a really good source of iron. However, if you are a vegan, you have to really have that variety of foods. It's harder to get the iron that you need from non-heme sources, as we call it.
Yeah, maybe supplements or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a low iron intake, well, I mean, that is a problem, isn't it, in certain children and adults? I mean, can you get sick from not having enough iron?
You can, yes. So you can get sick. You can, I suppose, as I said, you can, with low intakes of iron, therefore you're going to start to suffer from anemia, as we call it, or iron deficiency. And that affects the blood cells in a sense, and therefore the symptoms that you'll start to feel is you'll start to feel lethargic, you'll start to feel tired, you'll start to feel like you have no energy, and it could be just down to not having enough iron within your diet. And in adults, that's the feeling that you get, and potentially you're just not able to do your general day-to-day work. But I suppose in children, the big issue is if they don't have enough iron in the diet, it can have dramatic effects on their development, and they could be detrimental effects that they just don't grow and develop in the way that they're supposed to. And that can potentially be, you know, that it can't be, I suppose, we can't go back from that. So it's really important for children to get the adequate intakes.
Right. Your own research then in this general area, I mean, what is it that you're interested in and what kind of things are you finding?
I suppose I'm interested in, for nearly 15 years now, I've worked in food consumption. And what that means is I do lots of surveys in the population to understand in preschoolers and children and adolescents and adults in Ireland what we're actually consuming. And the reason we do that, there's lots of different reasons. I look into the safety things, but also in relation to the nutrients. So are we meeting the recommended intakes? What kind of foods are we eating? And it's really important that we can use that data to look. I suppose now we're kind of looking at the era of sustainability. And one of the, I suppose, the maybe not negative, is that the meat has a big environmental impact. But we consume a lot of meat in this country, and we get a variety of nutrients, as I've said, from that meat. So if we are to move away from meat, or maybe, you know, reduce the amount of meat, we not only need to look at how that reduces our environmental impact, but to make sure that we keep that nutrient adequacy. So there's, I'm really interested in that and using the data that we have on food consumption and how we can look at that in improving our health going forward.
So there is definitely a need and a future for meat production.
Yes, definitely. It's not, I'm a lover of meat as well. and I do think that it's not that we're not going to stop consuming meat. I think that's a big ask, and I think there's many people that go, definitely I'm not going to give up my, you know, my meat or my steak. But what we need to do is look at the quality of meat that we're consuming and also look at potentially reducing that meat if we have a high intake and looking at other foods. But I do not think that, you know, going forward we're going to get rid of meat altogether. And there's a lot of research now going into how that we can produce meat and make it more sustainable. So there's really interesting work going on in that area as well.
Yeah, because you have the sustainability issue, which is one thing, and then you have the kind of health issue. Yeah. So there are two issues for people.
Yeah. So it's really, when we look at sustainability, it's not only looking at the environmental impact, that's one part of it. It's looking at, you know, how we can make sure that we have nutrient adequacy as well, because, you know, we don't want to reduce, or, you know, if we, I suppose, remove something from our diets, it can potentially have a really negative effect. And we do see that if we model the effect of removing meat altogether, that it'll have a negative effect on certain nutrients.
And for 98% of us, I think you said, who eat meat in Ireland, I mean, it's a huge thing for a lot of us that, you know, you just, to remove it would be huge, and not necessarily, you would be, have to be careful with that.
You would. I think it's with every food, if you remove it from a diet, if you're your diet, you have to understand what nutrients it's providing and what other foods that you can put in its place. So I think removal or complete removal of any food from a diet is, it can be really detrimental. When it comes to meat and sustainability, I think we probably need to reduce the amount of meat, look at the quality of meat, reduce the processed meat, so that the meats that are really high in fat and sodium, and, you know, to a point that it's not negatively affecting our adequacy.
Breach McNulty there. That's all for this episode of Agri-Food Matters. If you'd like to get in touch with us or to make suggestions or comments, and we'd love to hear from you, please email me, Sean Duke, presenter of Agri-Food Matters, at seancduke@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate it or review it on the iTunes podcast platform or any of the other podcast listening platforms on which it's available, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Thanks to you for listening, and until we meet here next time, it's goodbye from all of us at Agri-Food Matters.